We're on Daf Nun Amid Beis, six lines up from the bottom. Amar Rav Yehuda, Shachach behichnis ochlin tov piv lo bracha misalkan letzad echad u'mevarich. He accidentally put food in his mouth and he had to make the bracha rishona. He should move the food over to one side of his mouth so that he can make a bracha, and he makes a bracha. Tanya Chada, we have one brisa, a different brisa, about again somebody who forgot to make the bracha rishona. He put the food into his mouth. Bolon, he should swallow it without a bracha. Tanya Yidach, another brisa. Polton, he should spit it out, then make a bracha and eat it again. Tanya Yidach, and another brisa. Misalka, and he should just roll it over to one side of his mouth, make the bracha, just as Rabbi Yehuda had said before. Lokash, there's no contradiction amongst these brises. Hadisanya, the brisa that says bolon, that he should swallow without a bracha, is b'mashkin. In the case of mashkin, he cannot roll the mashkin, push it over to one side of his mouth and make the bracha. He cannot spit it out, because then it becomes mos and it'll go to waste. Therefore, he swallows it without a bracha. That's how Rashi learns this Dibra Maschil Mashkin. And it would seem that the reason for the heter is because we're afraid of Hefsed Ochlin. The Rashba, on the other hand, writes in the name of the Rach that the reason why he doesn't spit it out is because Mashkin Shebetoch Piv Nidchu Mitoras Mashkin. Already once it's in his mouth, it loses its Toras Mashkin. And therefore, since it's not royal lishtos l'chol adam, therefore we don't no longer makpid on the bracha. And therefore, even if he could make a bracha, al yidei adchak, he doesn't have to make a bracha. And the Levush HaSrid in Orachayim Sima Kufayim Gimel writes that this is a nafkamina between Rashi and Rabbeinu Chananel. According to Rashi, if the mashkin in his mouth, because he cannot make a bracha, it would seem that if Lu Yitzur, he could make a bracha while in his mouth, he would have to make a bracha. Whereas according to Rabbeinu Chananel, even if he could make a bracha, he doesn't do so because it lost its Toras Mashkin. As far as the Ravid is concerned, the Rashba writes in the name of the Ravid that after he swallows the Mashkin, he should make a bracha. The Rosh writes the same way. And they bring a Raya because it says, Bolon upolton umesalkon. Hakol meduber biofen echad. That just like in the case of polton umesalkon, he makes the bracha, so too in the case of bolon, he makes the bracha as well. And this has to do with the sugya that we'll have later on. Emir Tzashem, a person forgot to make a bracha. Can he make a bracha after he ate? V'hadisanya polton b'midi delo mimis. If he spits it out, that Bryce is talking about a case where it won't become mos when he spits it out. Like, for example, Kloyos and Agozim. And Vahadisanya Misalkon, Bemidi de Mimis, something which, on the one hand, if he would spit it out, it would become mos. So we're worried about Hefsed Ochlin. Like, for example, Tusim Vanovim. But on the other hand, and therefore, if he would spit it out, he wouldn't be able to swallow it again. But on the other hand, it still has a shame of ochel, and therefore, he's not allowed to swallow it without making a bracha. So therefore, the most perfect, ideal situation would be that he should be pulling the ochel from piv, and then make the bracha. If he cannot do that because it'll become mos, then he's mesalikit litzad echad bepiv. And in the case of mashkin, where he cannot be poleted, then he's allowed to swallow without a bracha. And as we said before, it's machlokas rishonim, whether he should make a bracha after he swallows it. Now, the Raven is hasogus on the Ramper ches milchus brachos, as another condition before we allow you to swallow the mashkin that are in your mouth. He says it has to be a case where you need those mashkin, you don't have alternative mashkin, and then they were matu to bolon. because, as we said before, if you'll bepolate them, if you'll spit them out, you'll lose them. However, if he has in front of him other mashkin, then he should not swallow what's in his mouth. He should bepolate it. And this chisaron that'll be mafsid al mashkin is less important than hana b'lo bracha. So in the scale of things, hana b'lo bracha is more severe than hefseid mashkin. It's only when we add the other condition that he has no mashkin to replace these mashkin, that's when we're going to allow him, because he cannot be polluted, to swallow it. That's the shitas harayvi. And now we're up to daf nun aleph omid aleph, and that's the daf that we wanted to study today. B'midi d'lo mimis nami l'salkinu l'tzarechot v'levarach. The Gemara asks the following question: even if something is not mos, nevertheless, why don't we say that he should be misalakit to tzarech and make the bracha? Why does the Braisa say that he should be polluted legamre? And l'chora, the answer to this Gemara would be that we'd rather that he be polluted so that he can make the bracha the right way. Tirgama, Rav Yitzchak Kaskesa'a, okay, that was his name, and he explains, Kami de Rabbi Yossi bar Oven Mishmei de Rabbi Yochanan. The reason for the brisa that has to be polluted is Mishum Shenemar Yimoli Hashem Yimoli Pi Tila Sech Apostolic Tila. And for this we learn that a person should have a full mouth, absolutely free, when he makes a bracha. Yimoli Hashem Tila Sech. So therefore, if he has ochlin in his mouth, his peh is not mole; it's not absolutely vacant, and he won't be able to make the proper bracha. If need be, and if he'd be polluted, he'd be losing the ochlin, then Mishum Hefsed Ochlin will allow him to make the bracha even while half of his mouth is full with food. This is the Gemara that we were referring to earlier. What happens if a person ate something without a bracha? Can he make a bracha afterwards? Ma'o she'yatz of Yivarek, can he make a bracha afterwards? Amar lo hu, Rav Chisda answered that for sure he should make a bracha. L'mishach al shum v'recho nodeif yatz of yochal shum acher k'dei she'e recho nodeif. If a person ate garlic and his mouth is a little bit foul odor, so what are we going to tell him? We're going to tell him he should eat more shum, a second amount of garlic, so that again his mouth will now reek of smell. Here also, just because he violated the mitzvah bracha and he ate without a bracha, we're going to tell him again to eat without a bracha. Omar Avina Hilkoth, based on this statement of Rav Chisda, that one, somebody who reminds himself in the middle of a suda that he didn't make a bracha, then he's allowed to make the bracha even though he ate and he drank. It's therefore the same din is going to apply. Afilu gomar sudoso yachzor v'yavarech liachar asuda. So he reminds himself after he finishes the suda and he has nothing left to make a bracha on, nevertheless he should make a bracha after the suda. This is the way the Gaon learns this sugi according to Rashi, that the suffix was, if a person reminds himself in the middle of the Suda and he didn't make a bracha, now he should make a bracha. And Rav Chisda said, for sure, he's chayv to make a bracha. However, if that be the pshat, we're not exactly sure how Ravina could have taken this a step further. And even after he finishes his Suda, he's not eating anymore, he should still make a bracha. In the case of B'emtza Suda, we don't really understand what was the Hava Mina to say that he wouldn't make a bracha. He should eat a Nechila Nosefes B'lo bracha until Rav Chis had to tell him that it's like a person who ate shum, was going to tell him to eat more shum. Is there some Hava Mina here that Birchas Anenim depends on Tchilas HaSu'udah? And this would be similar to a Gemara of Psochim. The Gemara says in Psochim, if somebody doesn't have a Yerek on Leil Pesach, the only Yerek he has is Moror. So the Gemara thinks that in the Tibul Rishon, which is Karpas, which is not for the sake of Moror, he should already make a Bracha of Bori Pri Adama. And then, when he gets the Tibul Sheni, when he gets the Achilas Moror, after the Matzah, he should make a Bracha on Achilas Moror. The Gemara rejects that. The Gemara says, Achar Shemila Kreiso B'mor Yivarech al Achilas Moror. How can he recite a Bracha on Moror when he's already filled up his belly with Moror? So we see clearly that after he already ate something, he's not capable of making a Bracha. Here too, a person ate whatever he ate, and he was Mimale Kreiso of Mozel, and he didn't make a Bracha. Are we going to allow him to make a Bracha again? But the Maskon of Agamor is that this is not like the case of Moror. In the case of Moror, he was Mekayim already the Mitzvah Moror with the first Achilas Kizayis. That depends upon whether Mitzvah Srichas Kavon or not. So now, when he gets to the second Achila, he should make a Bracha. He already was Yotzei's Mitzvah. But here, in our discussion, we're talking about Hana'asa. He's making a Bracha on his Hana'a. And therefore, every single Achila which generates Hana'a requires a Bracha. Now, some of the Achronim offer another answer, that the Gemara's Suffolk was, should we say that he made a Bracha on Ochel, and he hasn't yet eaten? Should we ask him to be Mesaken even on that which he ate already? He's going to be Mevarech on Ochel, he hasn't yet eaten it, and is it possible that he could be Metaken even that which he already ate? How is that working? That now he's going to make a Bracha and eat something, it's Metaken, something that worked. Or the Gemara wants to say no, I mean, whatever he ate without a Bracha, that's a Mavis Shalisuk, he cannot fix that up, it's too late, there's no such thing as a Bracha L'mafreya. The Tzlach, on the other hand, in Rashi, says that the Suffolk was somebody who reminded himself that he didn't make a Bracha after he completed his Achila and Shasia. Can he recite a Bracha after Gemar Achila? Rav Chisda said that he should not be Mavarach again, because that would be a Bracha Vatola, and that would be like Chozer V'Ochel Shun. Now, if that be the case, what does Ravina say? Ravina says Hilkach, based on Rav Chisda, Afilu Gomar Sudoso Yachzor V'Yavarech. How do you make sense of that? Says the Tzlach that Ravina's comment was, again, if somebody forgot and he put Ochlin in his mouth, we said he was Masalik Litzdodim and he makes a Bracha. Well, now we come out to the conclusion that you can make a Bracha even after you finish the Achila. So Ravina says, no, that he can make a Bracha even after Gemara Suda. And the Gemara is going to bring a question on this, similar to the question that was asked to Rav Chisda. And the final psak is that he should not make a Bracha. So just to summarize, we have a number of different ways of learning the Suffolk in the Gemara, Rav Chisda's answer and Ravina's comment. One approach is that he's in the middle of his Suda, he realizes he didn't make a Bracha, and the question is, should he make a Bracha now? And that depends on a sugya in Psachim about Mila Kresamihem, Chozer Mavarach question mark, and we can make a distinction in this case. The other way of learning this Suffolk in the Gemara is, can he somehow be Mesaken that which he ate already? And since he's about to eat more, then the Bracha now is called not only on what he's about to eat, but also on what he ate already. And then we have the Tzlach's Pshat, which seems to be the straightforward reading of the Gemara, but it's a Pella, that a person, even after Gemara Suda, would he be able to be Mevarech, and some of the Brachas Chal L'mafreya? Or should we say that a Bracha after the meal is a Bracha L'vatola? And the answer was that for him to make a bracha now, after he finished his meal, would be a bracha batola, and it would be similar to a person who's chozer v'ochel shum. And Rashi has a girsa in Ravina, that Ravina appears in the Gemara before Rav Chisda. So that means that Ravina's comment here really goes back on the brisa above with regard to someone who has Ochlin Besoch Piv, he's Mesalik Litzdodim, and he makes a bracha. And on that, Ravina makes the comment, Hilkoch Afilu Gomer Sudosa Yachzor V'Yavarech, which means the following, Matzina, we find, that he can make a bracha even after the food is already in his mouth. And on that, Ravina makes the comment that he could also make a bracha after Gemara Achiloso, and the Gemara is going to reject this with a question right away. Now, first let's see the raya that Ravina brings to support his opinion. The sanya we learned in a brisa with regard to bracha on tvila, toval, if a man was tummy and he comes out of the mikvah, viola, is omer bal yaso, he makes the bracha, bracha shakin shalom itzosim, it's even all a tvila. So we see clearly from this brisa that you can make a bracha even after the tefillah. From here we should, by analogy, derive, says Ravina, the conclusion that after a person completes his suda, he can make a bracha. So Gemara rejects this rival, Lohi. Hasa mekar gavra delo chazi. In the case of tefillah, he wasn't roy to make the bracha. He was tamei. And as a result, they established a bracha li'achar ha-tefillah. And we could add here something that we saw back on Daf Chaf Amid Beis with regard to Bal Keri, that he's not allowed to make a bracha. So Rov Tvilo Sehem Shel Bal Keri. So the Rabbana made a takana with regard to Tvilo, since Rov are similar to Bal Keri, or let's say Bal Keri takes up the Rov, that since he's not roy to make the bracha at the beginning, they didn't want to completely undermine the bracha, and therefore they established the bracha after the Tvilo. That was the takan of Chazal for all tefillahs, that he should always make the bracha after the tefillah, even in a case of a bracha that could be made before the tefillah. And Tosfos points out, Dibra Masa Beikara, that what the Gemara has in mind is a tefillah of Gerus. Before his tefillah, he couldn't possibly make a bracha because he's a goy. And because of that tefillah, they were masakin in all tefillahs, the bracha should be recited after the tefillah. So that means even in mitzvahs where he has to make the bracha before them, since bracha is derabbanan, and in the case of the bracha on tefillah, that's certainly a bracha derabbanan, they were misakin the bracha l'achrea, and perhaps the model for a bracha l'achrea is birkas hamazon. But hacha, says the Gemara, meikara gavra chazi. Here he could have made the bracha nachil and shesia. And instead he went ahead and he ate without a bracha. His whole v'idchi idchi. Once he forgot the bracha, he was completely nidcha. He's out of the ballpark. He's pushed off. And he's dochli. And therefore he cannot come back and make the bracha. So the final maskana is that we don't accept Ravina. And after you've eaten, it's too late to make the bracha. Now, this concept of dichui is something that appears in many sugyas, especially prime sugya would be in Sukkah Daf Lamed Gimel, and that's called dichui b'mitzvahs. Discussion there is about a hadas that had too many berries, and therefore it was possible, and then he removed the berries, and then we apply the principle of dichui b'mitzvahs. And there's a difference between dochli mitchiloso, and then it became chozev and nira. But something that was nira, and then it was nidche, the Gemara has a tzad to say, yesh dichli etzel mitzvahs. That it was nira, and then the dichli was chal, and therefore it can no longer be roy. And here, he forgot to make the bracha, he was nidche therefore from the bracha, because at the time of the achil is ain't a roy levarit, and that's based on the pasuk that we had before, Yimolei Pi Tila Secha. And furthermore, B'mitzias, he can't make a bracha once he's eating, his beis ablia is filled. And therefore, he's nidche, and he cannot make a bracha anymore. So he was Roy, Nidcha, Chose Venira, and here we're going to apply the principle of Dichu. Now back in the time of Chazal, they drank in the morning a coast mashke, which was called Aspergus, and this was the Tzorich Refuah. This mashke was used to make wine, sometimes beer, and in the brises that we're about to learn, we're going to have to clarify to what extent this shtia was effective. And ultimately, we have to determine what we should do about the shtia of this kos. In other words, in what way we should drink this kos, which is called aspergus, and perhaps we'll touch on the question of a bracha. Generally speaking, if something is drunk just for the medicinal purpose, we might not make a bracha on it. Tanu Rabbanan, we learned in a brisa, ispergos, yafel alev, it's healthy for the heart, tov leinayim, it's good for the eyesight, for kol shkei lebnei me'ayim, and certainly for the digestive system, haragil bo, if somebody drinks it on a regular basis, yavel chol gufo, it'll basically build up his strength in his body, of the immune system, v'amishtaker emenu, if he drinks too much, and he gets sicker, then kosher, it's mazik lekol gufo, so he has to be very careful not to overdo it with this drink. So the Gemara now is medayik. Midik tani, since it says yafel alev, michal de bechamra askinon, this aspergus is made from wine, because we know that wine is good for the heart. We had a brisa above, and we're going to have it again, that drinking wine is good for the heart. Vikatani. And we learn kolshkein, livnei miayin, how much more so is aspergus good for the digestive system. It seems that an asparagus of wine is good for the Bnei Me'ayin. So the Gemara asks about Tanya, we have a brisa that shtias asparagus, when it's made from wine, although it's good for some of the Eivarim, it is detrimental to some of the Eivarim of the guf. And the brisa gives us a simon, lilat yafeh. In other words, asparagus is healthy for lamid ayin tes, which is the lave, the einayim, and the tchol, and the spleen. But the opposite, leramas kosha resh mem tuf, and that's rush meayim and tachtonios. Tachtonios has to do with the anal opening. Asparagus is bad for those. Now on this list we have meayim. So now we have a steer. We have one brice that says asparagus of wine is good for the bnei meayim. Here it says it's not good. And the Gemara says, "Ki sanya ahi." The first price that we had that this wine is good for the bnei me'ayim is bit miyushan. That means old wine. Old wine means, this is based on the Rashbam Bava Basra, wine that's at least 3 years old. If it's only 2 years old, then it's not very good for the digestive system. So we need old wine. So next time you're buying dry wine, take a look at the date on the wine, figure out how old it is, and there you determine whether it's good for your stomach or not. Kedisnan. Now the Gemara brings a raya that there's a difference between old wine and new wine, based on a Mishnah in Nedarim, Adaf Samach Vav. The Mishnah says, Konam Yayin Shani Toim, a person takes a neder, that he will not be Toim Yayin. Now, the word konam is another word for karbon or hegdesh, and generally speaking, a neder, when a person takes a neder, he uses the word konam, which is a replacement for the word karbon or hegdesh, and that's because you can be matvis in hegdesh, in generating an iser. So that's called a kinui nedarim. Now, the ikar loshem haneder would be dover ze ye osrolai, or ye osrolai ke karbon. But when he uses the word konam, that's a kinui for nedarim, and it replaces the word karbon. Is now we're going to understand why he took this neder. The Mishnah says, shayayin kosher libnei me'ayim, that yayin is bad for his health, for his digestion. Therefore, he took a neder not to taste any wine. Amrulov, so they talked to this person who took this neder, and they said to him, "Alo, miyushan yafu l'bnei meyayin v'shasak." They told him that this wine that he's about to take a neder upon to enjoin himself from drinking is actually yayin miyushan. It's older wine. And that's yafu l'bnei meyayin. And he accepted it. And then in such a case, asur b'chadash umut b'miyushan. Since after he said konam yayin shanitom, they immediately told him that he should exclude yayin miyushan from this neder, because why are you taking this neder? It's because you're worried about the impact of wine on your stomach, so make sure that you leave out miyushan from your neder. And therefore it's logical to assume that his neder would only include the yayin chadash. He would have made a mistake if he would have included yayin yoshan in his neder shmamino, but we see clearly from this Mishnah, yayin yoshan, or as the Gemara calls him, miyushan, is healthy for the meyayin. And therefore, when we talk about asparagus, which is a kind of wine, and the Bryce says it's tov l'bnei meyayin, it's talking about yayin yoshan. Now the Bryce tells us how to drink this asparagus. Tana Rabbanan, shisha dvarim nemru b'asparagus. The Eluhain, these are the six things that describe the shtia of this asparagus. And the first one on the list is Ein Shosin Oso. We don't drink it. Ela Kishahu Chai. It's got to be made from undiluted wine. Number two, V'molish. Drink from a full kus. Number three, Mekablo B'yad Yamin. He should receive it in his right hand, V'shoseo B'yad Smol. V'ein Masich and Achrov. He shouldn't speak about it right after the Shia. He should eat something after this drinking. V'ein Mafsikim Bo. He should drink the entire drink in one fell swoop without taking any breaks. Even though in general, Derech Eretz is to drink a kus in two legimos, not to drink it all down in one, because that's a gargaron. But our Brisa says in the case of asparagus, that's not what he should do. He should drink it pevasachas. And finally, number six, v'ein machzirin oso el lemishin son olo. After he drinks the kus, he should not return it to anybody, but rather to the person who gave it to him to drink from it. Now, we're going to add something else about asparagus. V'rok acharav. In other words, if he has rok in his mouth, after the drinking, he should spit it out li'acharav. Now, I don't know what li'acharav means. Does it mean behind him or after his drinking? Right immediately after his drinking. In other words, we just finished saying that he should eat something solid immediately after the shasia. So what does it mean, v'rok acharav? And then it says, v'ein somchen oso ela b'mino, which we're going to explain in just a minute. So the impression you get here is that after he drinks the asparagus, he should rinse out his mouth and spit out the water, and he should eat something solid. And then it says that he spit out the liquids that he used to sort of wash out the remnants in his mouth of this asparagus, and then he ate something immediately. And ein somchen oso ela b'mino, that the maichel that he's eating is mino. What does that mean, mino? In any event, the Braisa teaches us that ein somchen es asparagus ela b'mino. What does that mean? That immediately after the shtia, he eats something solid from the same min. Vasanya, the Braisa says, as far as asparagus is concerned, ain't somchen oso ela bepas. After he drinks this asparagus, he should eat a piece of bread. And that's not mino. Lokasha, says Gemara, ha bidechamra v'ha bidechikra. The Braisa that says that he's somech bepas, that's talking about asparagus that's made from wine. The Braisa that says that he should eat something bimino, that's talking about an asparagus that's made from shikra. from shechar. That shechar is made from either dates or perhaps figs. And in that case, since the shikra is made from dates or figs, then immediately after he drinks the anigron, he should be eating dates or figs. That's called mino. And that's meant to, in a sense, counterbalance any negative effects, possible effects of the drinking of the asparagus. So he eats te'enim. If the shechar was made from te'enim, he eats tmarim. If the shechar was made from tmarim. And all this is apparently for health reasons. Now, if the asparagus is made of wine, then it's impossible to say somchim v'mino, because he doesn't have other minim other than wine itself. But in shechar, there's shechar tamarim, shechar te'enim, the different types of shechar, then it makes sense to say that he should be somech v'mino. Every min requires its own min. Now, in our brice, it becomes clear that the asparagus is very healthy for certain evarim. There are others that it is damaging to. And we had the simon here in the brice of La'at and Ramas. And now, we're going to ask the following question. You have Lev, Einayim, and Tchol. That's La'at. And then you have Rosh, Me'ayim, and Tachtonios. And that's Ramas. And the Gemara now asks a stira between two brises in this context. Tony Chada, we have one brisa that Lilat Yofa L'Ramas Kosha. That's what we saw before. But Tanya Yidduch, we have another brisa that says L'Ramas Yofa and Lilat Kosha, which is just the opposite of what we're saying, which would mean that according to the second brisa, asparagus is very healthy for the head, for the system, the digestive system, for the underparts. Whereas, as far as the lev, the einayim, and the tchol, it's a mazik. So how do we reconcile that with our brisa that says just the opposite? Lo kasha, the Gemara says, hod v'chamra, hod v'shikra. When you talk about lat yofa and ramas kosha, that's talking about asparagus of yayin. Whereas when you're talking about ramas yofa and lelat kosha, that's talking about asparagus of shechar. Now we learned in the brisa that he should sort of wash out his mouth with water after drinking the asparagus, and he should spit that water out. Now the Gemara is going to bring a contradiction between two brises on this very point. Tanya Chada, we have one brise that says Rok Acharov, that when he takes the water into his mouth after the drinking of the asparagus, he should spit out that water. And Loke, if he doesn't do that, then he'll be affected by some machla. Tanya Idach, lo rok achorov loke, lo kasha hob de chamra v'hob de shikra. So the brisa that discourages us from being rokek afterwards, that's talking about asparagus of yayin. And perhaps in this case he should be swallowing the water, I don't know. But hob de shikra, the brisa that says that you should be rokek the water that you drink after the asparagus, that's talking about asparagus of shechar. As we said before, it's made of either figs or dates. The Gemara now adds the following comment. Omer of Ashi, hashta di amrit. Now that he's told me about asparagus of shechar, that in lo rok achrav, he doesn't spit out the water afterwards, loka, he might get sick, he might get ill, is therefore meima of nizrokim afilu b'fnei ha-melech. Even if he has to spit out this asparagus or the meima of shel asparagus in front of the king, he should do so. He shouldn't hesitate because he has to avoid sakana. Now, the brisa of Maisa Merkava of Rabbi Shmuel ben Elisha, who goes up to Shamayim by Askaras Hashem HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we're going to try to bring some of the anhagos that will teach us about a malach. There was a malach there that would teach Rabbi Shmuel ben Elisha up in the Rakia Omer Rabbi Shmuel ben Elisha, Shlosha Dvarim Sochli. I was taught three things by the Malach up in Shamayim. I was taught by the Malach called Suriel, who's the Sar HaPnim. He's the most chosh of a Sar. He comes right up in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now, just a little background here. Rabbi Shmuel ben Elisha is the Kohen Gadol, and he was Mishtamish B'Keser Shem Nora. He got from Gavriel the Keser Shem Nora, which is some sort of mystical name of God or a keser, some sort of a hat that he wore on his head. And he was speaking to Malachi Asharis. And in the Gemara, back on Daf Zion, we learned that Rabbi Shmuel ben Elisha said, Pamach and Nasi Lakhti, Ktoris, Tnai, Vli, Reisi, Akatriel, Yud Kei, Hashem Tzvokos, Yoshev Akisei Romanisa, Vi Omerli, Yishmol Bini Barcheni, you may remember that I got it. So what were the three things that the Sar HaPnim, Suriel, taught Rabbi Shmuel? Number one, Al Tito Chalukha Shachris Miyara Shamash Vitilbash. Don't take your cloak when you get up in the morning, Shachris, from the hands of your servant and wear it. Don't let the Shamash give you the chalok, but rather titol biatzmacha, take it yourself. Number and we'll try to understand why that's so. Number two, the al titol yodecha mimi shelo notal yodav shachris. If somebody's pouring water on your hands for what we call negelvas, to make sure that he himself, the one who's washing your hands, had already washed his hands. And number three, v'al tachzir kos asparagus elamish and son loch. You should not return this cup. You should be very careful, but only return it to the person who gave it to you. Now, the reason that he has to be careful about these three things is v'nei she tach sefis. Again, these are shadim. We don't know too much about them, but they're a chabur of these shadim, which are called tachsefis. The amrile, some say, is talginis, shel malachi chabola. Again, some sort of gathering or group of very dangerous malachim. Mitzapim lo li adam, they're waiting for man. The omrim, and these groups declare, Emasai Yavo Adam li day echon miadvar malalu v'ilake. They're waiting for you to fall into one of those three things, and you will get trapped. Now, in Masechet Ksuvos on Daf Ayin Zayin, Rabbi Yoshua ben Levi is quoted as going with a Malach HaMoves, and he goes with him alive into Gan Eden. And at that time, the Malach teaches him Kaman Hogos, certain Hanogos. Now, since we're going to again derive from the Malach that a person should not allow his servant to put on his cloak in the morning, let's see if we can get a clue as to why this is. So the Levushe Srad and also the Prima Gadim say that this din applies even if the Shamash already washed his hands. Why shouldn't the Shamash be able to put on your cloak if he washed his hands? Again, the next Tanhoga is that he shouldn't wash your hands if he hasn't washed his own hands. And that's because the Pasuk says, V'hizo hator al atomei. And in the case of the Tilus Yadayim in the morning, we want to make sure that's V'hizo hator al atomei. And by the way, this concept only applies to Negelvasa, which is called the Tilus Yadayim Shachris. Other Tilus were not makpid about this. And perhaps because Netilas Yadayim, as the Rashba is famous for saying, is a Birya Chadosh. He's being recreated as a new Birya with a new day. Al titol chalukcha shachris mi'ana shamis v'tilbash. Put on your chaluk yourself. Al titol yodcha mi'mishlo notal yodcha yodov. V'al tamad l'fnei ha'noshim v'shoshem chozros min ha'mes. Mifnei shani, the Baal Chavos says, I merakid uba l'fneiem at that time. V'charbi v'yodi v'yeshli rishus l'chabel. So after the Levayas HaMes, when the women return, be careful, the Malchmovis is there. He's waiting to catch somebody at that moment. He has his, you know, he has his sword in his hand. That's a very dangerous moment. Don't stand in the way of the Nashim. And this is those women who go out from the Levayas HaMes, and perhaps they go into here, the Hespit as well, and then they come back. But those who go with the coffin, or for example, those who, after the Kfuras HaMes, they come to give a Hespit, is then Aunt Malchamovis Holech Lifneim. So the Sakona that we're talking about is relevant now, because the Noshim are not going to Levayas HaMes. Itama Sakona Mavuyas Pesug Yosein Nogim Ata She'en HaNoshim. Our meaning is to avoid the Sakona, the women go to not participate in the Levayas HaMes. Again, there are different minhogim. In Shalayim, for example, that is the minhog. The women are meant to stay behind. And the reason he's walking in front of the Noshim is because apparently, the Malchamovitz is apparently the women in the Maisa of Adav Chava were responsible for bringing Misa into this world, and therefore the Satan is Makatrik Beinem Bizman Rischa. You know, at this time of a funeral, that's Bizman Rischa. God is, so to speak, angry, if you could use that term. And therefore, since the women are guilty of that sin of Adav Chava, therefore the Malchamovitz is doing overtime duty over there. And the Ben Yol Yodah adds another point here, that Noshim represent Midas Adin, and you got to be careful after the Kvura when the Midas Adin is dominating. And that's what we have here. Then the Gemara brings a Takana. What should he do if he meets the group of women who are going back, he encounters them from the mess in Poga, Maitakante, Linshof Miduchte, he should jump from one place to another and jump, Arba Amos. Iika Nara Liabre. If he sees a river there, he should cross the river, and then the river serves as a wedge between him and the women. Ika darcha chwina, if there's no river, but there's another derech to go on, lazelba, you should make sure to go on the other derech. Ika guda, if there's no alternate derech, but there's a kosel, then he should hide behind the kosel. Leku achore, you should stand behind the kosel. Ve'ilo, if there's no kosel. Lahadar ape, he should turn away from the women. The Laban, he should recite a pasuk in Zechariah. Vayomer Hashem al Satan, Yigar Becha, Hashem Becha Satan, Yigar Hashem Becha Bocher Mishalayim, Haloze Ud Mutzal Mi'esh. And then he should continue saying this pasuk, Ad the Cholfim, until the women pass by him. Now, at the time of Birkas HaMazon, He should be holding the kos of yayin in his hand. And many brachos were established by Chazal, what we call kos shel bracha, to be recited over a cup of wine. That's their covered in shevach to the bracha, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, as the pasuk says, kos yishuos esa uvashem Hashem ekra. Our sugi that we're about to embark upon is addressing the halachas with regard to a kos shel bracha. Omer Rav Zera, Omer Rav Avov, Yomer Lev Masnisa Tana, some say it was in a brisa. Asara Dvarim Nemru B'kos shel bracha. There are 10 things that we should be careful about being noeg in a kosher bracha. For example, a kos of Birkas HaMazon, perhaps a kos of Sheva Brachas, of Erisin, and other kosos shel bracha. Now let's keep in mind that Kiddush on Friday night is a classic kos shel bracha. And therefore, whatever we're going to learn now applies to the kos of Kiddush. Number one, ton hadacha. Before we pour the wine into the cup, we should make sure that we rinse both the inside and the outside of the kos, especially the inside. And number two, shtifa. We should make sure to dry the cup. And here, we'll mention that the reason for shtifas hakos is to make sure that the kos is naki v'yofa. That's what we have to be able to guarantee with regard to a kosher bracha. Therefore, we don't have to be shotef ladiach unless the kos is dirty. Let's say, for example, it has pieces of food left over, you know, vestiges of food, leftovers. But if it's naki, then he doesn't need shtifa. And that's Tosus Yadim Ramasal Shtifa B'machutz. Tosus Rabbeinu Yehuda, on the other hand, Tosus Rabbeinu Yonah, say that the minig of the Olam is to do shtifa nadocha tamid. We're not going to look into the kos to see whether there's lichluch in the kos. We're going to always automatically require marika, shtifa of the kos shel brach before we pour in the wine. However, the exception to that rule is a kos shel oshasu bo b'shas achila. Nobody drank it during the time of achila. And therefore, when we put it back into the closet, wherever it is, it's naki. And we can assume, therefore, that when he takes it out for a bracha, it's naki, and he doesn't need shtifa vehadocha. So again, hadocha is mi vifnim, shtifa is mi bachutz. And now we're up to number three. He has to put the wine into the kos while the wine is chai. Later on, we'll see that he adds water to dilute it, but right now, when he pours the kosher bracha, it should be pure, unadulterated, natural wine, because that's the kavod of the kosher bracha. Now, we might say that it's impossible to be mevarech on yayin chai, because back on Daf Nun, we said the chachamim amodet to Rabbi Eliezer in the case of a kosher bracha, and we're not going to make the bracha until later on when we add water into the undiluted wine. Therefore, we have to assume the kavod of this brisa is to be mamayit, that they shouldn't be mosaic the yayin with mayim in the chavis itself, because then as soon as he pours it in, it's already mazuk. We want him to do an act of maziga, of mixing the water with the yayin. Next, v'yia mole, the kos should be filled up until the top. Itur, we should try to beautify the kos. The Gemara is going to go into detail about that later. V'ituf, and we should cover rosho, b'sha shemavarech. Now this seems to be an application of a general rule of Asul Levarach Begili Rosh, but we have to be more makpid in the case of a kosher bracha. Even though, again, in all brachas, it's Asul Levarach Begili Rosh. Now it could be, alternatively, that ituf means the kerchief or the sudar, which is used Parson al kova ehem kiderach misha omeg lifnei hagedolim. So that those, if you know people who are makbid in the kosher bracha, that they put on their hats, that's based on this interpretation of the word ituf. Ituf means to wear a hat in this context, not just to wear a yarmulke, because again, if he's just removing gili rosh, that's applicable to any achila, any shasiya, right? That's the general rule of b'shar brachas. Any bracha, we have to recite the bracha with with Kisui Arosh. But what's unique here is something called Ituv, and he put something on his hat, like he's Omed Bifnei Gedolim. Now we're up to number 7. Notlo b'shtei yadav, he should hold the kus in two hands. Finally, number 8, when he begins to make the bracha, nosno b'yad yamin, he places the cup in his right hand, umagbio menakarka tefach, he should make sure to lift up the kus at least a minimum of a tefach. And that's especially true if he's doing a seva on karka. If he's doing a seva on a shulchan, he just have to lift it up a tefach above the shulchan. And all this is so that we show the mesubin, all the other people, the kosher bracha. That's a covenant of the kos, that we're displaying it, so to speak, publicly. The nosein einav bo, he should look into the kos at the time of the bracha. Yesh omrim, others add another additional halach in kosher bracha. Af mishagro b'matana lianshei beso, he should send the kos to his wife, and she should drink a little bit up from the kos. B'derech shel matana v'chashivas, he sends it to her as if he's giving her the most wonderful gift. And all this is to be machshir the kosher bracha. And b'zeh yoniach bracha b'beso, he will bring the blessing into his home. Shevekoshel bracha misbarech pri bitna. And this is based on Rabbeinu Yonah. It's not exactly explicit here. We'll see on the Gemara Amid Beis that it's pretty much more explicit. But the Koshel bracha is a great school, if you will, for bracha of pri bitna. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, anu ein anu el arba bilvad. We only have 4 out of the list of 10, and those are hadocha, shtifa, chai, umole. So the Braisa now goes into detail about shtifa v'hadocha tana. We learned in the Braisa, what are we supposed to do with a kosher bracha hadocha, which means washing it out mivifnim inside, v'shtifa, which means giving it a good rinse on the outside. A person who fills up a kosher bracha, Amar Rabbi Yochanan call him a varech al kos mole, if he makes the bracha birkas hamazon on a full kos, nosim lo nachla v'li mitzarim, his reward is almost, I guess you'd say, endless. Shenemar umole birchas Hashem yom v'dorom yerosha, that if a person is mevarech kos mole, then he will inherit nachla lo gvul. That's what it says here in interpreting this pasuk. Lo gvul hamispashetes mi hayom v'ad hadorom. It expands from the Yam all the way to the south. Now, if you want to express that something spreads out endlessly, then it goes all the way to the water, can't go beyond the water, and all the way to the south, that's where the end of the Yishuv is. After that, it gets too hot, nobody can live there. And this is a Midah Keneged Midah, because since he was Mavarach on a Kos Mole, he wants a Nachla Malaya, and that's a Nachla Belig Vul. And that's what he's going to get as a reward. Rabbi Yossi Rav Chanina Omer, if he recites a bracha on a kos mole, zocha v'nochel shnei olamim, he's zocha for both olam hazeh and olam haba, because of the pasuk that we saw before, umole birchas Hashem yom v'darom yirasha. And the Torah could have said yom v'darom reish, and that would have been sufficient. So the osios of Yud and He are superfluous, because the Rosh is surrounded by the Yud at the beginning, the He at the end, and that's a remez to 2 Olamos that were created with these 2 letters. And this is based on a Gemara Menachos Chavtes that Kibiyah Hashem Tzur Olamim that the letters Yod, meaning Yud K, are the letters with which God created two worlds, this world and the next world. Rabbeinu Yonah quotes the Rabbeinu Tzarfas that this pasuk really doesn't clarify that he's zocha to a nachla in this world, but since the Iker Schar Mitzvah is in the next world, that's where the Iker is, in the Olam Haba. But there's some part of the mitzvah which is called Ochel Perusein B'Olam HaZeh Akarik Yemes Olam Haba. So therefore, if we see that there's a schar for the Koshal Bracha in this world, how much more so there'll be such a schar in the next world. Then we get back to Itur. For Koshal Bracha we need Itur. And the Gemara says that this was the minig of the Amoraim to be mekayim this halacha of Yehuda me'atreyu b'talmidim. In other words, when he made a koshal bracha, he would make sure that the talmidim would surround the kos at the time of the bracha. That was Rabbi Yehuda's minhag. Rav Chisda was ma'atale b'natle. He would take these cups of wine and he would surround them around the koshal bracha. And the Gemara explains, Omer Rav Hanan u'bechai, that the kosos that he took for Itur to surround the koshal bracha were full with undiluted wine. Omer Rav Sheshes u'bebirchas ha'aretz, when he gets to the birchas ha'aretz, meaning nodelcha, he should add some water to the wine. Yishbechu ma'at yayim in ha'kosos shesviro l'toch ha'kos shel ha'mevarech. So after we have Rav Chisda and Rav Hanan, that we surround the koshal brach with other koshas of yayin, and they should all be chai. Then Rav Sheshes says, u'bebirchas ha'aretz, that when he gets to the brach of birchas ha'aretz of nodelecha, he takes a little bit from each of the kosos around this kosh, shel mevarech, that are used for the kiyum of itur. And yishpach ma'at yayim min ha'kosos shemisviva l'toch kos shel ha'mevarech. So the one who makes the bracha on the kosher bracha, his kos now receives yayim from all those kosos misaviv that are surrounded for itur. I'm only wondering out loud what happens if there's not enough room in the kos, because kos is a mole. It's just a little bit confusing to me how he's going to add wine from other kosos into this kos, which is already mole. In any event, let's just add here for a moment the Aruch. The Aruch writes that from one of the kosos of Itur, they would pour into the kos of Mevarech at the time of Birchas Ha'aretz. Only one. I mean, that perhaps is why it might help us a little bit according to this Shita, because maybe we're having a limited amount of wine going into the kos shel bracha. Now, there's another possibility here that the Gemara is quoting the Lashon HaBrayis, a kos shel bracha needs to be chai. And Rav Sheshes understands that chai means that it has to remain undiluted until Birchas Ha'aretz. We hinted at this earlier, but at Birchas Ha'aretz, he should add water and dilute the wine. And that depends on various possible girsos here in the Gemara. And according to Marashoy, even Rashi could fit into this understanding. And the Rambam writes in Perek Zayin, Mehilchas Brachos, the Rambam writes, Memalei es hakos b'yayin chai v'kevin shemagia higia l'birchas ha'aretz nosein l'socho ma'at mayim kedei sheyeh Orev Lishtos. So if this be the case, it would seem that the kos chai is not filled up to the top because he still has to add water to it to dilute it, which he's going to do during Noda. So it would make sense, according to the other Shita, that he should take a little bit of wine from all the other kosos misaviv of the Itur and pour that into the kos of the Mevarech. Now, I just want to add Rabbeinu Tam. He says that Tchilas HaBracha is Mozgo B'mayim, So that he begins with a bit of meziga when he starts the bracha, and then when he gets up to Birchas Haaretz, he adds more meziga because he didn't do kidei meziga gemura on the first meziga. The reason for the meziga in Birchas Haaretz, says the Rosh, is to show shvach Eretz Yisrael, that the yayin is so strong that we need to dilute it with water, with a significant amount of water, and that's shvach of Eretz Yisrael, which is appropriate for Birchas Noda, which is a shvach for Eretz Yisrael. Now we said about Itu Peshas Bracha, Rapopo, Ma'ate fi Yosef, he was Ma'at Misate Pitaliso, and he said he made the Bracha. Rav Asi Paris Sujal Reshe, Rav Asi would swing and cover his head with a Sudar. This is considered a Malbish Choshev. Kideshi Hei Abrocha Bi'ema Bi'ira Uba Anova. Now the Brisa tells us about receiving the kos. Not lo b'shtei yadov. Om Rav Chinina Bar Papa. My krah. What's the pasuk that tells me that he should take the bracha, the kosher bracha, into two hands initially? And the Gemara quotes a pasuk in Tilim: Se'u yedechem kodesh uvarchu es Hashem. This is a remez that he should lift up the two hands in order to receive the kos and make a bracha on the kos. The Brisa says, "Venosno liyamin." After he picks it up with two hands, he puts it into his right hand, and the Gemara says the following: "Omer Abchia Bar Abba, Rab Yochanan, Rishonim, the original Chachamim, Shaalu, they raised the question: Small Maushe to Sayel liyamin. When he's holding the cup of bracha in his right hand, can he use his left hand to hold it, to support it?" And they didn't come to any conclusion. Therefore, Omer Rav Ashi, hold Rishonim Yiboilu Velo Ifshitulei, since the older generation didn't come to any definite conclusion regarding this question. Anan, here we're on Daf Nun Aleph Amid Beis, Anan Ne'evid L'chumra, we should be M'chumra, and we should not use the left hand to support the right hand. Even though we're talking about a suffix derabanan, because the whole Indian of a kosher bracha is derabanan, and certainly holding it in yamin is derabanan. We should apply the principle of suffix derabanan lekula, but nevertheless, because of hider mitzvah Ravashi says we should be machmir in this, and furthermore, the ikar, the main thing of hider mitzvah is doraisa. The kiyum is doraisa zeh keli veveu hisnalafan of the mitzvahs, and therefore we should be machmir in this suffix. So we're going to stop here on the top of Nun Aleph Amid Beis, and Amir Hashem will make a siyum on Shlosh HaShachlu in the next year, and we'll begin Elu Dvarim.